Today, in the Attorney Career Advice podcast with Harrison Barnes.
Most of my time was spent working for partners at other offices.
All we have got these two jobs or this one job.
But they're going to be people that are many times And I'm trying to be respectful of everyone that's asked questions and try to answer all these, even though this has been going on a long, it's a fairly long webinar, but we'll get through all the questions. Okay, let's see. I'm a junior lawyer who lost a position in a boutique firm. After just 6 months, I've been getting great reviews and buying lots of hours. The last month, I got stretched too thin. I failed to catch a partner's mistake on a deadline. The partner, who was working remotely for another office, threw me under the bus. My branch office manager did not stick up for me, and I lost my position. There were a lot of great things I liked about the job. I liked the work. I liked working in a national boutique, and I liked some of my bosses, but there were things that did not. Partners did not have time for training associates. Most of my time was spent working for partners at other offices. The branch was slow, volatile personalities, and the partners in my home office were obviously remote, so there was little opportunity for FaceTime. How can I frame my new job search in the best possible light? Do I admit that I was fired? And what questions do I need to ask myself to move forward? Okay, so this is interesting, by the way. I want to just bring up a quick point. Now, this is very similar to a lot of questions, so I'm going to refer to some of the other stuff, the other questions there. But what's interesting about this question is a lot of these are about branch offices. Think about it. Branch offices having problems, branch offices getting work from other offices, branch offices this, branch offices that. And it's interesting. There are branch offices of major firms all over the country that have never made a partner because you're not around the people that have the power to do it. A lot of times branch offices are open because there's one or two clients there and they want to have a presence, and then they hire people and there's no work. So branch offices can be very volatile places to work. It doesn't mean they all are. Most of them, if you take a great law firm like Latham & Watkins, they're freaking awesome. They have great branch offices. Or you take a firm like Quinn Emanuel, their New York office is awesome. And they're based in LA. So the point is, a lot of branch offices are very good, but a lot of them are bad. So it's just, it is an important consideration for attorneys when you go to work to be very careful with branch offices. It can hurt you and you need to be careful, because you may have limited opportunities to advance. You may have less work, all these things. Okay, so this particular question that you're talking about with your people losing positions, or you losing positions because you made a mistake. Again, this is the second person that's talked about having made a bad error and gotten fired. So again, this happens all the time. It shouldn't happen, by the way. It should be the partner's responsibility most of the time to catch this stuff, but whatever. That's because they're the ones that are ultimately accountable. So I think, again, when you're fired from any job, that you need to frame it in the best possible light, in a way that you would be, if you were representing a client that was accused of a crime or did something negative, you need to frame it in a way that would make you look very positive instead of negative. So you need to just move forward and apply to a lot of places. You need to talk about what you liked. But often the best thing you can say is there wasn't any work. There was infighting between the different offices. They didn't, whatever. You have to, in a way, it doesn't make the firm look bad. So typically the best answer is there's not a lot of work. It was a difficult, I don't know, but something that doesn't necessarily draw a lot of attention to you, because there's just, it wasn't difficult. I was working for a partner remotely, then they preferred to work it. I don't know. You need to come up with other reasons. Do you admit that you were fired? Preferably not. But you can say you find reasons that support your argument. So partners wanted to do all the work themselves. They didn't want to have associates work on it. They didn't have any local work, enough of it. And so I was working only for remote partners, but then they started giving all their work to people in their office. You have to come up with arguments and things that are strong, that are on that your side. But ideally, if the law firm needs you, so I just want to keep coming back to this. If the law firm needs you, they're going to assume probably that something bad happened. And if something bad happened, if they need you, they're not going to want to make you uncomfortable and ask you about it. They may not, but if they need you and the balance is such that if you go to work there, they're going to make a lot of money, and why would they turn you away or by make you uncomfortable? That's probably the smartest thing to do. So if the law firm needs you, then they're not going to ask a lot of questions about that. So my strategy, again, I'll come back to Harrison's strategy, is to apply to firms without openings. So apply to firms without openings because they're not going to ask these questions as much. And if people want to ask it, that's fine. But you come up with a good answer, they're obviously going to think something's off, but they may not want to ask about it. And if they do, just come up with a decent reason that deflects the blame or something in a way that doesn't make the firm look bad. So just come up with arguments. I can't be the one that makes these arguments for you because I don't know exactly how you would argue it, but you basically need to frame everything in terms of something that makes you look strong and without making them look bad. So just think, what would you do if it was a moot court competition? What would you do with negative facts? What would your cable associate market yourself? Yeah, same thing. This is top advice, Harrison's top advice. So if I've learned anything in my entire career, so 25 plus year career of marketing attorneys and getting tens of thousands of them a job, simplest thing imaginable, the top advice, the most easy to follow, you know, is that no one does because they're afraid of it for whatever reason, is you apply to firms without openings and find as many as you possibly can That's it. You do that. There's other things like you can review resumes and resume videos that I've done and that sort of thing. But you apply to firms without openings, and then you find as many as you freaking can, as you possibly can. That's it. That's how you market yourself. No one does that because there's something, I don't know, it's called an article on BCG called the worst job search advice ever. And I'm not going to criticize anyone here, but there are a lot of sources of so-called job search information that tell you it's wrong to apply to firms without openings. You should never do that. That's bad. It's going to, and sometimes the people that are doing that because they're trying to, I don't know, protect themselves or I don't know. Or if, for example, if you're a law school and you have 300 students or 500 students in Lansing, Michigan, and half of them want to work in Lansing, do you want 250 students applying to all the law firms in Lansing? If you're a law school, probably not, right? I'm not saying Harvard or Michigan or someone or whatever is going to tell you this, but this is the advice that, because if everyone, the law schools, in order to get people jobs, they need to basically have some control over where people go because they need the best applicants to go to certain firms. They end up with relationships with different people. I've watched law schools do this. I have lots of employees that have gone, have been like career service or former recruiters at big law schools. And anyways, but the point is that you need to apply to lots of places about openings. I'll just tell you a quick story so you can understand how powerful this is. So I had a candidate that went to a great law school. I don't know what it was. It was some great place, Chicago or whatever, Stanford, something really good, and had done very well there, like one of the top 5 students or something, or 10 students in his class, just freaking off the chart smart.
Do you know the secrets to getting your dream legal job? We do. And one of the best things you can do is apply to jobs that fly under the radar. Applying to openings with very little competition means you stand a much higher chance of getting hired. But how do you find openings like that? For starters, you're not going to find them on major job boards because these jobs are usually only advertised on companies' websites and in small regional publications. That is why we created LawCrossing, the most comprehensive database of legal jobs in the world. We have a team of people constantly working to find every single legal job out there. Unlike other job boards, which only list jobs that companies pay to post, we include every legal job we can find in order to maximize your chances of finding a job. So, what are you waiting for? Head over to www.lawcrossing.com to find your dream legal job today.
And he was doing the same thing, that had the same thing happened that happens to so many people on this call. And he had lost his position at a major law firm and been fired because he had made a stupid mistake and missed a deadline or something. And so he went to all the recruiters he could find in whatever market he was in. I guess it doesn't matter, but it was a market with a lot of recruiters. And everyone told him, no, we don't have any jobs for someone who's 6 months out, or we have this firm, maybe we'll try that. And no one told him
to, no recruiter tried to get him to apply to lots of places. They basically said, this is all we have. We've got these two jobs or this one job, or we don't have anything, but we'll let you do, or we can't work with people that lost their job and all this stuff. Long story short, I got him interviews with like Boyce Schiller, which is impossible to get interviews with. I got him interviews at Quinn. I got him interviews at a bunch of different firms, and it saved his career. If I hadn't done that, he would have had lots and lots of problems. This particular story, by the way, is something that is repeated at BCG with people that aren't getting jobs in other ways on a daily basis when interviews come in, and a monthly basis when lots of people get jobs. It's freaking crazy. Now, we have other ways of helping them because we track the firms that interview certain kinds of people consistently, and we know who they are, and there's 30,000 firms that are in our database, and 10,000 of them were consistently worked. So we have a lot of intelligence, but you can do the same freaking thing. So my advice is, it doesn't matter who you are, all you need to do is apply to a lot of places. You would be crazy if you didn't and you were trying to get a job. If you are just have a JD job and not a law firm job, if you apply, this is how crazy this stuff is, if you apply to jobs on Indeed or LinkedIn, that employer is going to have lots of people applying, and they're, most of them are going to have jobs in from law firms. Most of them are probably going to have better qualifications than you. Most of them are going to be interviewed from the first people that apply and not later. So why on earth would you possibly want to market yourself that way when you know you're not going to get the job because most of the people that are applying are going to be better than you? You would have to be insane. And that's what everyone does. Oh, I'm not going to apply to places that opens. Oh, that's bottom dwelling. Oh, that's this and it's that. And wow, I've seen so many people stop their careers because of this one piece of advice. And you need to freaking fix it and apply to places that openings. And if you do, you will get jobs. Now, your resume, by the way, I know you asked for the top piece of advice, but your resume needs to not be all over the place. And you should watch videos that I've done about this and all sorts of stuff, but it needs to be focused on something and allow people to read into it as all. But you don't need to talk about all this stuff that has nothing to do with working in a law firm. You just need to tone it down and just, if possible, just take out your freaking description of your experience. If it's nothing, you just need to fix it. So that's apply to places that open. No one does it. Everyone thinks, again, most people don't do it. If I tell my candidates to do it, they're like, oh, Harrison or BCG is trying to spam me. No, I'm trying to get you a freaking job. My God. But again, this is how it works. You have to apply to places without openings. You apply to places without openings, no one else is doing it. You're the only applicant. If the law firm can make money without having to go and interview and spend time and call people in, interview multiple people and just talk to you, it's much easier. And you're not competing with others. You'd have to be freaking out of your mind to not do that. That's what everyone does. Why would you want to compete with hundreds of people submitting their resume on Indeed or LinkedIn for the same jobs? You can go to LawCrossing and apply for jobs that aren't being advertised, which is also smart, but I'm not trying to promote my services here. You can, or my businesses, I just want you to understand what you need to do to freaking save your career or start your career. Okay, if you have to take time off to be a caregiver for parents, how do you assure a potential employer you will never again be doing that? Both parents have passed away and I no longer have any family. Do I tell them that? Yes, you can say, my parents were dying or and I was the only one that could take care of them. Yes, you can talk about that. Then if they say, why aren't you going back to the same firm? You can say, well, because I want to explore new opportunities because I have this opportunity to do that. Yes, you can tell employers that this happened and that's it. They should respect you for that. Most of the time they will, but I would say my whole family, all I have now is my job. It's very important to me, but yes, you should definitely, you can bring that up and that is positive to do. I'm making sure I'm actually doing a good job working through these questions for the most part. Okay, this is a good question. Interesting one. So if a lawyer, this is a question,
loses their position in February and is paid through March, can they list on the resume that they worked on their worked at a law firm till March? Yes, you would be insane. Sorry to keep saying this, but yes, you list, you go all out applying for jobs. When you lose your job, go all out, apply to firms without openings. I'm going to say it again, without openings, and then ASAP and get a job as fast as possible. Get a job as fast as possible. And not only that, you get a job as fast as possible. But yes, you list on your resume as long as you can. Not only that, but if the law firm, you demand, if you lose your job and the law firm shows you the door, you demand that they leave you on your website, that they leave you on the website. You demand that they keep your voicemail active, voicemail, email, like all this stuff. You demand they keep it active, because if they don't, and I'm going to be really clear here, if the law firm doesn't leave this stuff active, they're screwing you over. Now, I'm not going to say they're screwing you over, because they may have legal reasons for doing it, but I would just say, does not leave active, sorry, not leave active. You are screwed, right? And I'm sorry to use such. So yes, you can still get a job, but you want to actually negotiate with a law firm and say, I need this, I'm trying to get a job. And they know that if they don't leave that active, that it's going to be very hard for you to get a job. Your job, if you lose a job, is to do everything in your freaking power to get a new job, because if you don't, then you're going to have that break. But you need to do everything you can to get the law firm to make it look like you still work there. You can say, hey, I'm very early in my career. I've only been here like a year. I'm sorry for the reasons I'm losing my position, but this is really harming me if I don't have the ability to get a position in time, because it's very much more difficult to get a position without a position than with a position. You tell them that. But I want to be very clear with you. Like, you need anybody that loses their job and is on the website for 6 months, or I mean for a month or whatever, you need to apply every freaking place you possibly can to get a job, so you don't have a break in your career. So what does that mean? That means once you start practicing law, you're not really supposed to stop. You're just supposed to practice, you know, till you die, pretty much. I mean, till you retire. So any break on your resume, any break in your career is going to hurt you. So you need to make sure that you do everything you can to get a job. That means applying finding every single firm, every single place you could work, every single city, wherever. That means, where do you apply? You apply to, where did you grow up? You apply there. Did you grow up? Where did you go to school? Where do your siblings live? Where do your siblings live? Where do your parents live? Where did you go to school? You apply to every single market you possibly can. Did you go to school? And if you do that, then you'll be more likely to get positions than if you don't. So that's my piece of advice to you. You need to do whatever you freaking can to work to get a job. And these are places where you grew up. The only reason I bring that up is because if you try to get a job where you grew up, then people will think you're going home. They will think you're not trying to get a job there because you're having problems. If you try to apply where your siblings live, that's good, because you say, I want to be close to my brother or sister. You want to go back to where you went to school. Those are all things you can do that can be very helpful in terms of ask you. If you're asked those questions, answer the question. Great question. Do you recommend cold emailing firms about wanting to work for them? And what do you assess your post? Yes, you cold email every firm. Better yet, just going to say it, no one's going to like this. Send a letter with your resume, et cetera, because hardly anybody, imagine you're sitting in your desk and someone emails you their resume. Boom. It's just like, all right, I'll look at it. And then it's just there. Maybe you delete it or put it into a folder. You get a letter in the mail. This is what legal authority used to do. You get a letter in the freaking mail. Someone delivers it to you. You open it. It looks okay. You sit it on your desk and you're reminded of it day after day if you don't call, because if it looks halfway decent, most of the time, some of the time you may throw it in the trash, but how often do people send a letter? So this is a freaking awesome strategy that I recommend. Yes, you call the email firms, but you know, resume and cover letter, but you're better off sending a written letter. But yeah, you call the email firms. At BCG, we certainly email resumes with and cover letters with our stationary and with all this stuff. But in addition to emailing resumes, we also send faxes, because who sends faxes these days? A fax comes in, someone walks it over. That's awesome. So you have to get people's attention. The best way is to have something that's printed that arrives on their desk. Do it as many freaking places as you can to all the people. It's pretty easy to find who's in charge of hiring. If it's a law firm and there's three names and it's a small to mid-sized market, you just send it to the first name or whatever, the one that, or whoever is listed as a hiring person. So someone asked, this is a while ago, what are the reasons that you weren't about branch offices? Okay, so why are branch offices dangerous for people's careers? And this is a good question. I'm going to answer it because it's okay. So here's why branch offices are dangerous. So branch offices are dangerous for a lot of reasons. They're not all dangerous. Like, I want to be clear, like, if you're in a branch office for freaking, what the hell happened here? You're in a branch office for Quinn Emanuel in New York, or Latham and Watkins in New York, or Gibson Dunn, which is in Washington, D.C. You're in one of these branch offices, like, that's freaking awesome. Those are great firms and they're great branch offices. Gibson Dunn in Washington, D.C. is one of their top. It's great. But anyway, so a lot of branch offices are very good. But here's typically what happens in branch offices. Decisions are made. Decisions about advancement are made in the main office, right? So made in the main office. So that means it's very typical to make a partner, right? Sometimes it's less because they want to show that they're promoting people in branch offices, but typically it's difficult to make partner or advance. Often work comes from the main office. So work comes from the main office. So what a lot of times law firms will do is they will basically want to open a branch office. And so think about this. So the law firm wants to open a branch office. Many times it may send one person or a couple of people from the main office, but then it goes and needs to get local attorneys to join the branch office. So local attorneys, that means attorneys need to be recruited. So when they recruit, local attorneys need to be recruited. And those local attorneys, typically, not always, but they're going to be people that are unhappy in existing firm, happy from a different culture of the firm, and often may not have business, even though they say they do.
Do you want to grow your legal career? A lateral move might be the right choice to get you on track for your career goals. Working with a legal placement firm like BCG Attorney Search can open doors for you and help you live the life you dream of. If you're looking for a new legal job, send us your resume so we can help. Visit www.bcgsearch.com and click on Submit Resume to be paired with one of our legal placement professionals who will work tirelessly on your behalf to get you your dream legal job. Submit your resume to www.bcgsearch.com to get started today.
So what does that mean? So unhappy means that if someone's unhappy in one firm and they're recruited to go to another firm, the odds are that they may be unhappy in the new firm. So these partners that go to the branch offices that are recruited are often haven't been happy in the firm that they're recruited from. So that's one thing. They may come into the new firm and also be unhappy. They may be coming from a different culture. So certain firms are very siloed, where partners will all protect their business. Other firms are not siloed, meaning everyone cooperates, a different culture. A lot of times when people are recruited from different firms, they may not have business. So what does that mean? That means that a lot of times when partners are moving firms laterally, they will say, hey, I've got all this business and I can bring this much over and stuff. And then what happens a good portion of the time, not always, but a large portion of the time, is that turns out to be BS. So that turns out to be BS, meaning the business projections turns out to be BS. Projections turns out to be BS. It'd be BS, maybe 50% plus of the time. So what does that mean? So that means that these partners join the firm, and these partners are basically in trouble the second they join, right? So then there's often a lot of turnover. So there's a lot of turnover and turnover. And then often the partners that were unhappy at new firms, they will move again because they're unhappy, right? So they'll move again because unhappy. So then the second they get there, there's all this issues with being unhappy. Then the cultures won't be compatible. So they will move from one firm with one culture and they'll move to another with a different culture. So that's a big issue. So not compatible. So different people will be that. The partners will feel like second fiddle to the people in the main office. Partners, second fiddle. They'll face new conflicts with bringing in business, meaning the law firm may have conflicts about a client. The law firm may not approve a client that they might have been approved at another firm. All of these things are happening. And there's more. I could keep going, but if you recruit a bunch of people or the bunch of people in a branch office feel like the partners feel like they don't have power, that a lot of stuff is coming from, the decisions are coming from the main office, that the culture is different, that the partners feel less than the partners from the main office, then they need to get their approval, that they're not able to bring the type of work they bring in, and that they may not have, their business may not transfer when they're hired, or they may have been not telling the truth about their business. That creates problems too. So all of this stuff ends up creating a situation where there's just a lot of freaking turmoil. Not only that, but then these same partners will be the ones that were recruited from another firm will be vulnerable to leaving for a new firm, right? So they'll be vulnerable to being recruited again. So then you wind up with a situation where a lot of the partners are unhappy, where people are coming, they haven't started at the main office, they don't understand the culture, where they're leaving, where many times because they don't bring enough work over, because they don't have enough work, they have you need to get the work from the main office, which is a non-starter because the partners in the main office have relationships. The associates will have relationships with those partners. With those relationships, it's easier to make partner. With those relationships, it's easier to get work. When you have people that may not have the work, it's much more difficult. All this stuff really needs to be thought about. Now, again, I'm not saying that every branch office is bad because there are some, frankly, kick-ass firms that have great branch offices. I'm talking about your Latham's, your Scaddens, your Gibson's, your Quinn's. A lot of firms have just these freaking awesome branch offices. Sidley and Austin, there's a lot of firms out there that are freaking great and have good branch offices. Morrison & Foresters, what an awesome firm. So there's a lot of firms that have great branch offices, but this is the big problem with branch offices, especially with new firms. Think about it. Management is elsewhere, like management elsewhere, just so many things. So branch offices are freaking, they are dangerous. So there's something for some firms you need to be very careful with. Okay, someone said, how do I replay the recording of today's call? So the presentation will be online. I don't know how long it will take, but it will be online. And so that's something you'll be able to see. Okay, this looks like it may be the last question. If anyone doesn't have any more, I will finish with this question. So let's see. I have been job hunting for 3 months and I still have not received any interviews. I have sent emails to partners, applied online, and even reached out to a few common contacts. What can I do to get an interview? My resume has been updated and checked by a law firm partner. So it's the same thing. Fortunately, I'm going to keep coming back to this. Let me just find this here. There's a lot of stuff here. Okay. I'm going to answer this question the same way I've answered this question several times before. And I'm not saying you were not paying attention or anything. I'm just saying that this is my number one piece of advice. If you haven't been able to get an interview, but you need to just apply every possible place you can with that doesn't have an opening, but you need to search online. So what does that mean? You go to Google or whatever, you use different sources. You search for, what would be an example? Let's talk about family law firms. I don't know what you do. Family law firms in Omaha, Nebraska. I don't care where you freaking are. There's tons of places that you can work. There's so many. Look at this. It's freaking crazy. Google screened, licenses checked. I don't even know what this means, but look, family law, and you can search all these different locations. You can look here. There's more businesses. You can just keep going. There's so many places an attorney can work. Look at this, just page after page of places, no, whatever town that you want to work in, whatever market, what you can find. There's so many freaking jobs out there. It's ridiculous. Look at this. There's all over. It's just completely insane. Now, this particular firm looks like it's only women, which, but if you're a woman, that's probably a good place to apply. But again, there's firms just all over. There's so many freaking places you can work. You just have to decide where you want to work and find the firms and Google whatever it is and apply, and you will get hired. It's as simple as that. So if you want to work your contacts, which is fine, send emails to partners, apply online, that's fine. But my advice is to go freaking all out. You shouldn't be hiring 3 months. Apply to every market you possibly can. Apply to markets where you are, where you grew up, where your siblings live, whatever. And just following this advice will change your life and your career. And that no one does it. I don't know why. And again, but it's freaking works. So let me make sure I got everything. Yeah, I think I got all the questions. Congratulations for everyone for staying on this webinar. I know it was a very long webinar, but I think the content was exceptionally important. And I think it should, if you understand all this, it should change the course of your career. Wow. Very impressed with everyone who stayed on this. This stuff, by the way, that I talk about, if you learn it and you follow it, it's made changed the lives and careers of lots of people. Not that I have anything special, but if you listen to someone that has a lot of experience like I do, who's been doing this for a long time, obviously I've learned things that some people haven't. I'm very enthusiastic about this business, but listening to this kind of information, learning from other sources is very useful for having a good career. And so I commend you for doing this. Most people that are successful in any undertaking will have people that they listen to and follow, whether it's for self-help or your career or whatever. I used to listen to Tony Robbins, and then I met him and worked with him. I used to listen to my mentor, Chet Holmes, and then I was able to work with him when he wrote a best-selling book, and he was my friend. So listening to people that have stuff to teach is really important. And certainly you can get a lot of information, more than I can give you, when you talk to sometimes partners in law firms and ask them their advice too, or people that have done well in your own firm. So anyway, congratulations for listening to this. I think it should have been very, I hope it's very helpful. I'm certainly impressed with everyone that's still on this call, because it's a lot to listen to and take in. But if you didn't listen to all this, it's probably going to help, may have changed the course of your career and life, because there's a lot of good information here. Thanks everyone again for being on this webinar, and I hope everyone learned a lot. Bye.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the show. If you are an attorney looking for a change, head on to bcgsearch.com.